Good morning and evening, amateurs and shortwave listeners. This is News West, VK6ARN. We are a community organisation and we've been serving up the news since 1931. I'm Steve, VK6SJ, and welcome to the news for this week, 7th of December 2025. Now, on with the news.
Foundations of Amateur Radio. Recently, I spent some quality time digging into the origins of a word in common use. In doing so, I contacted the Postal Museum in the United Kingdom and received a lovely reply that included a photo of a document in their archive. The document, a post office circular from Friday, December 30th, 1904, number 1641, introduces a new service offered by the post office. Let me read to you what it says, and I quote, "Telegrams to and from ships by wireless telegraphy, to be noted at telegraph offices only." With the present circular is enclosed a list showing the wireless telegraph stations in the United Kingdom worked on the Marconi Company system, and the hours up to which telegrams can be received at those stations for transmission by wireless telegraphy to certain ships fitted with Marconi apparatus. By another notice in this circular, postmasters and others concerned are requested to enter the names of the stations in the code book with the necessary particulars. Ships will be issued for insertion in the post office guide. On and from the 1st January 1905, telegrams may be accepted from the public on the following conditions. Subject to the inland regulations with regard to counting, the charge, which must be prepaid in the usual way by means of stamps, will be at the rate of 6.5 pence a word, with a minimum of 6.5 shillings per telegram. The name of the wireless station will in each case pass as one word in the address. The word radio, which is not charged for, should be telegraphed in the service instructions. End quote. When I read that, it made the hair stand up on the back of my neck. The introduction of a wireless telegram service under the service heading of radio, with a photo of the actual document that introduced it into the world. I also learned that there's a dozen pennies in a shilling, and over the years before decimalisation in 1971, the composition of coins changed, which made converting this into today's money interesting. As an aside, the Royal Society has a wonderful article, "The Science of Money, Isaac Newton's Mastering of the Mint." Back to radio. This is 1904 bleeding edge technology, and it's priced accordingly. The starting price for a radio telegram on New Year's Day 1905, 6 bob and 6, or 3 florin and 6 pence, or a crown, a bob and a tanner, is worth just over 34 Great British Pounds today. That's just on $45 US or nearly $69 Australian. That's the minimum price. The price per word, 6 pence halfpenny, is just over 2 Great British Pounds today, nearly $4 US or almost $6 Australian. Compare that to the price of SMS, which started at about 21 cents here in Australia. Today, it's about 3 cents per message of 160 characters. This seems like a lucrative business to be in, but I digress. Again, from my current and ongoing research, it appears that until this point, the early 1900s, the word radio was always accompanied by another word. For example, in this context, radio telegraphy. Another combination of the day is radioactive, as well as radio tellurium, which today we know as polonium. Moving on, the response I received from the Postal Museum included other gems, including a reference to the 1904 Wireless Telegraphy Act from the 15th of August 1904, where I found something fascinating from Section 2, Paragraph 1. Quote, "Where the applicant for a licence proves to the satisfaction of the Postmaster General that the sole object of obtaining the licence is to enable him to conduct experiments in wireless telegraphy, a license for that purpose shall be granted, subject to such special terms, conditions, and restrictions as the Postmaster General may think proper, but shall not be subject to any rent or royalty." End quote. I think that's the birth of amateur radio licensing in the United Kingdom, right there. As an aside, because I cannot help myself, the definition of the expression wireless telegraphy is pretty interesting too, reminding me of a quote, variations going back to at least 1866, incorrectly attributed to Einstein, that goes something like this. You see, wire telegraph is a kind of very, very long cat. You pull his tail in New York and his head is meowing in Los Angeles. Do you understand this? And radio operates exactly the same way. You send signals here, they receive them there. The only difference is that there is no cat. Seems that the drafters of the 1904 Wireless Telegraphy Act had the same thing in mind when they wrote, quote, "The expression wireless telegraphy means any system of communication by telegraph as defined in the Telegraph Acts 1863 to 1904, without the aid of any wire connecting the points from and at which the messages or other communications are sent and received," end quote. Now, as I said, I'm still working on this because the word radio, as a concept, had to have been conceived before the Post Office Circular was written, printed and published. It might transpire that this was the brainchild of a single individual, or it might be that this was a term whose time had arrived, or this might not be the first occurrence of the word radio as a concept. Today we think nothing of it when we use it to turn on the radio, listen to or talk on the radio, radio for help, break radio silence, and plenty of other uses of this now ubiquitous word. Thanks again to the Postal Museum for finding and photographing the Post Office Circular for the 30th of December 1904, which at this stage appears to be the first occurrence of the word radio on its own, and for referring me to the 1904 Wireless Telegraphy Act, which appears to be the birth of amateur radio in the United Kingdom. You can find both documents on my project site at vk6flab.com. I should also mention the brave individuals who took the time to share with me how to refer to old British money. Any mistakes are all mine. I'm Ono, Victor Kilo 6, Foxtrot Lima, Alpha Bravo.
This is VK6ARN, and you're listening to News West.
Hi, I'm Steve, VK6SJ, with this week's episode of Did You Know? A couple of years ago, I did a deep dive into the 6000 series flex radio. This session is an update on that, highlighting both the 6000 series radio and the new 8000 series transceiver. It's my favourite rig and I could talk about it for a couple of hours, but I'll try and keep this to the normal 5 to 7 minutes, or it might be 7 minutes. Okay, let's kill a few urban myths first. The entry-level radio is in the region of $4,000, so comparable with a mid-tier radio from any of the other common brands. It is a real radio. It's not a pooter radio. It has a PA stage, audio amplifiers, etc. It doesn't have mixers or any of the phase noise generating bits that come with a conventional radio, and it doesn't have mechanical filters that your favourite Collins rig had. Given that the vast majority of us haven't built our daily drive radio, it takes exactly the same skills to set up as any other non-SDR radio. It still needs antennas, power supply, amplifier, etc. The Flex 8000 is the current series of Flex radio and has been in production for a bit over 12 months, with the previous 6000 series radio being in production since about 2016. It is software-defined, so it has some features that you don't get easily in a conventional radio. It can simultaneously detect a 7 or 14 MHz chunk of spectrum, depending on your model, and you can bring that right down to looking at an individual FT8 transmission stretch across your PC monitor. Filtering is also software-defined, so you have a much sharper filter skirt than with even the best crystal filters, and with much less ringing. It has a variable notch filter that can actually stay on the frequency you have notched even when you shift frequency. You can also duplicate the notch on other frequencies. This is very handy for operating in a CWDX contest in particular. You can vary the width of the filtering with your mouse or select a standard filter bandwidth such as 2.1 or 2.4 kHz. Noise filtering on the latest 8000 series radio is, I think, the best of any radio I've ever used. The base model 8000 series radio has no user interface and requires you to connect your PC to the radio to operate. The beauty of this is the PAN adapter can be the size of your PC monitor, giving it the best user interface of any radio bar none. Lots of people I know tell me that they don't want to use a PC to operate their radio. They say this as they keep an eye on the DX cluster, connect their ICOM or Yaesu to the computer so that they don't need to manually write the frequency and mode in their logbook, which is often also online, or at least synced with any of about 5 or 6 online contact databases. And in fact, about the only thing they don't do is have a 27-inch PAN adapter. Instead, just makes do with a 6-inch screen on the front of their rig. If all you do is turn your rig on and chat for it to a few mates, so not needing logs and the internet to help find the elusive all-time new one, then a PC may not be big on your wish list. For the rest of us, though, it's hard to imagine a shack without a PC and the internet, regardless of what radio you're using. If you really don't want a PC and a shack, Flex has the M-series radio, which has a front panel with a 7-inch screen and knobs, whatever they are. You can also build your own front panel from a MIDI console, or if you're good enough with software and telemetry, you can build your own operator interface using the publicly available API. You still need a PC, but it could also be embedded in the front panel. Flex have a proprietary application that's used to operate the radio if you're using a Windows PC. If you're a Mac user, then there's an app you can buy from a third party that's very good and even has the odd feature not seen with the Windows software supported by Flex. Software comes with 2 applications that provide virtual COM ports and virtual audio streams. This allows you to connect multiple applications that require connection of data or audio to a radio internally without actual cables between the radio and the PC. In fact, the only cable between the two is a single Ethernet cable, and you can connect the radio and PC across a LAN or VPN. This useful feature can then pop up over some other possibilities, like a CW skinner that spans a whole band, transferring of call signs from a DX cluster to the screen of your PC. Very useful in contests in particular. You can connect N1MM contest software to the radio and stream audio from the voice keyer and N1MM direct to the radio via a virtual audio stream. Remote operation is one of the radio's stronger points. You can connect your radio to the internet via your home network, then connect it to your account with a server that Flex own and provide for its customers for free. Then connect your PC to the internet and log into the same account and you're on the air. The same third party that writes the Mac software also has apps for the iPhone and iPad, allowing you to work that new country while you're out shopping or at work. You can also use it without the Flex server if you set up your own VPN, which also allows control of rotators, amplifiers, antenna switches, etc. The audio quality on air is one of the radio's stronger points as well. It has an 8-band equaliser that can turn a rubbishy old studio mic into something akin to a $500 Heil mic designed for the radio. A good friend of mine who runs a music studio helped set mine up one afternoon on 40 metres, and it works an absolute treat. The receiver also has an 8-band equaliser, allowing you to set up the receiver for minimal audio fatigue. Very important in the longer contests where you might spend 4 to 6 hours at a time glued to a headset. There are easily set up memories, so you can set up both TX and RX filtering for as many use cases as you can dream up. All the 6000 and 8000 series radios, including the long superseded 6300, 6500 and 6700 transceivers, use the same user software. As Flex developed new features, both the firmware in the radio and on the PC are upgraded to make use of the new features, although some newest features only work on the 8000 series radio. Previously, Flex's approach to funding the continuous upgrade of the radio you paid for 10 years ago was to every now and again charge you $199 for a revised version of firmware and software. This had occurred twice in over 10 years. Comparing that with the cost of selling a radio you bought in 2014 and buying a new one in 2016, and then doing that again in 2022, the cost of the upgrade was peanuts. Flex's new approach is that to gain new features, not bug fixes, which are always free, you pay an annual fee of $199, and if you don't renew your subscription, you still keep the features that you gain during that subscription, but only bug fixes moving forward. If you decide later that you do want a new feature Flex has brought out, you can renew your subscription at that time, which will catch you up on all the features that have come out since your expiry, plus all new features for the next 12 months. While this is more than the fee paid twice since 2014, the rate that new features are coming out now is significantly higher than before. This is because the subscriptions provide the ability for Flex to invest more in development. If they stop developing, the income stops and no one wins. So far this year, we've seen a couple of extremely good and industry-leading noise cancelling features, some neat CW operating features, and something I've been wishing for a decade or so, a voice care with 12 recordings. Finally. The new 8000 series radio has twice the processing power than the 6000 series, and also comes with a GNSS-DO GPS frequency standard as a standard feature of the radio. The 8000 did come out with a small price increase over the 6000 series, a few hundred Australian dollars on average, but the feature increases were worth a lot more. Well, thanks for listening again. This is Steve, aka 6SJ, and you've been listening to Did You Know on the News West broadcast.
There are a number of activities that encourage amateurs to get out of their shack and use their radio equipment somewhere in the outdoors. Summits on the air, worldwide flora and fauna, islands on the air, silos on the air. There are many to pique your interest. The program I'm most interested in is POTA, or Parks on the Air. This program that began in 2017 as a once-off ARRL Parks event in the United States has grown into a global phenomenon of many thousands of active hams and tens and thousands of parks. In WA alone, there are 1,612 parks as of time of recording, with about 80% of them never being activated, which is very rare elsewhere in the world. What constitutes a park, you ask? The original definition was strictly a state or federally managed registered park, reserve, or wilderness area, with very few exceptions. Today, the definition has been relaxed to include many other areas like rivers, beaches, state or federally owned heritage sites like museums, listed buildings and memorials. Privately owned and local government sites are still not eligible. New parks are being added every week, and if you have a site near you that you would like to activate, it's a quick process to include it in the program. Parks on the Air is not only about those venturing out. Activating a park is fun, but would be difficult without hunters. Or with those people who may also be in the park, but are more likely to be in their shack looking for activators to make contact with. The QSO exchange is call sign, signal strength and readability. Depending on how busy the activator is, you may also exchange location and other information, but don't count on it. Logging of the QSO is done by the activator. The hunter need not record the QSO and does not need it to gain recognition points. Awards for levels of hunter and activator activity are awarded by the POTA organisation. There's a very simple registration process to become involved. Just visit the website pota.app, pota.app, which is a website, not an actual app. And in the top right corner, there's an orange button to sign up. We have an active POTA community in WA with a small group of dedicated hams. If you're interested in knowing more about POTA, would like to tag along on an activation, you can simply email newswest@vk6.net and we will put you in contact with an active POTA person. This is Darren, VK6EK, WA Coordinator for Parks on the Air.
This coming weekend, 13th and 14th of December, is the ARRL 10 Meter DX contest. This is, funnily enough, a 10 meter only contest, which means that depending on ionospheric conditions, you might still make it for family dinner on Saturday night, or, if conditions are good, you may still be working stations at midnight. The goal of the contest is to work as many different stations outside Australia as you can, with multipliers for ITU zone. We alone are in zone 58, so should be sought after, and DXCC entity, and every US and Mexican state, as well as every Canadian province. So that morning opening and late night long path openings to North America are important. The contest is both SSB and CW and runs for 48 hours. It has all the normal categories you can expect in a major DX contest: SSB only, CW only, mixed mode, single op, multi-op, low power, QRP, etc. It's one of the more popular DX contests on our calendar, so you can expect lots of activity on 10 metres for next weekend. May the DX gods be with you, and look forward to hearing some of you in the contest.
You are listening to News West, your weekly news from VK6 ARN. If you have any items for the news, the latest they can be submitted is noon Friday. If you have an item you would like read out by the news team, please give plenty of notice to allow someone to record the item before the Friday deadline. This is Darren, VK6EK, for Amateur Radio News, VK6ARN.
Have you seen the December QTC magazine yet? I'd be surprised if you have, because it's not out yet. QTC is due to be published by next weekend, so keep an eye out. In the December issue of QTC, we write about some things out of the ACMA that needed attention. These included changed access to ACMA access, which is now required to be via the MyID app, a discrepancy between the ACMA's operational procedures webpage and the LCD concerning third-party communications. RASA wrote to the ACMA with positive results. QTC also talks about access to ACMA assist by under-16s. What else in QTC? There's an interesting story about amateur radio in movies, along with the regular columns, dits and dars, DX happenings, and a background story about why an iambic key is so called. And there's more, including important information about how RASA can support your club. Well, that's QTC magazine, online and downloadable, due out next weekend. And it's available from the RASA website, vkradioamateurs.org, vkradioamateurs.org. I saw some favourable reports about the outing at Wireless Hill recently, where members from a few clubs mingled for a sausage sizzle and some extramural amateur radio operating in the public view. I wonder how many of the public showed interest in what was going on. Amateur radio in action usually attracts some attention. I also wonder if those amateurs present on the day were armed with the brochure designed and printed by RASA that were offered to every amateur radio club in Australia. If you did, congratulations. If you didn't, why ever not? The brochures were designed for exactly that sort of situation. Amateur radio meets public. Public looks interested. The amateur talks about amateur radio, then hands the interested person a brochure to take home with club contact details on it. Samples of the brochures were mailed by snail mail to every club in Australia with the offer to supply more on request for absolutely no charge. Free, gratis, and for nothing. If you haven't heard of these brochures, give your club committee a shake-up and place an order with RASA. The brochures even come with your club's contact details in the middle of one page. So just do it. And Radio Outdoors, congratulations, well done, and let's get on with more, having broken the inertia. Start your plans for the John Moyle, 21st to 22nd of March 2026. That's a good place to start. I'm Bob VK6POP.
G'day from WARG. Welcome to WARG News for the 7th of December. Well, we did have that barbecue, and now I've caught up with everybody else, and I can say thank you to the over 20 members of the VK6 world and one visitor, Greg, November 4 Charlie Charlie, who was only in Perth for a couple of hours, and he spent almost all of it with us up at Wireless Hill Park. He's on a cruise, and the ship was docked, and yep, he spent most of his time getting to know VK6 amateurs. Graham, VK6RO, thanks for pointing us and him in the right direction that we could all meet. Thumbs up, mate. Coming up soon, a working bee up at VK6RTH, or Tick Hill. But first, let's talk about where it came from. Last Monday, we had a meeting at First Pelican Point. We had it outside in the barbecue area, and between those of us there and those of us online, primarily, the discussion was about various projects that need some work done, be that VK6RFM or other things. And yes, Tick Hill. The work that needs to be done, and the installation of that 23-centimetre repeater. So, let's get down to tacks. Trevor, VK6 Mike Sierra, has had a word to the quarry and has booked for next Thursday, 11th of December. And so, if you're interested in coming along, please email secretary@warg.org.au. We'll find out who's attending and contact everyone with the exact time, probably about 8:30 a.m. We'll get some work done up at Tick Hill next week. The next episode of that weekly serial, the WARG Technical and General Net, will be on VK6 RLM and linked All-Star repeaters from 10:30 a.m. And if you're listening to this in the evening, well, it's next week. 73's from VK6RRG, and myself, Mark VK6, X-Ray Lima Zulu. One final word. Tomorrow will be the 8th of December. If you missed it earlier, that's the Weissen meeting. We've had a WAG meeting, the Weissen meeting, tomorrow night, Midland Hall.
Hi, it's Bob VK6PIP here again. Last week I told you about a proposed free DV net on weekdays. Let's try Tuesdays at 4 p.m. And if you install free DV and get it working, you can try it out on Tuesdays. And we'll utilise the standard frequency for Australia on 40 metres, 7.045. It should show up on your frequency menu anyway on free DV, but that's the one. And if you look on Reporter, you'll find others sitting there. So look for the VK6 call signs and join in.
A word from Weissen WA. You can be forewarned and forearmed that the next on-air Weissen Net will be Wednesday, as it is every Wednesday evening, on VK6 RLM and linked hubs, as well as being simulcast on 3.600 plus or minus QRM on the 80-metre band from 20 Hours Hotel, that's 8 p.m. local in Western Australia. The next meeting is the second Monday in December. That'll be the 8th of December for the next Weissen WA meeting at the Hall of First Midland Scouts, number 10, Helen Street in Bellevue. Doors will open at 7 p.m. for a 7:30 p.m. start. Online, we do Jitsi. Check the website at wicenwa.org, wicenwa.org, and our contact page, or sending us an email at wicenwa@outlook.com to get yourself the link. 73's from Weissen.
Good morning, this is Roy, VK6X-ray Victor Weathersfeast, Disposals Helpline for the 7th of December 2025. What do I have for you today? First off today, I have a wanted. Looking for an antenna tuning unit, a MFJ model 16010. It's a Mike Fox Juliet 16010 or an MFJ 956. Must be a manual antenna tuning unit for a receiver. And that's required by Rob, VK6 Fox Romeo Lima Romeo. His email address is Romeo Charlie Alpha Uniform Tango Oscar Papa Alpha Romeo Tango Sierra Figure 1 at iinet.net.au. I'll say again, Romeo Charlie Alpha Uniform Tango Oscar Papa Alpha Romeo Tango Sierra, that's RC Auto Parts Figure 1 at iinet.net.au. He's got just one eye in the iNet, but try it either way. It says at iNet, which is India November Echo Tango .net.au, but I think it probably may need an extra I in there. So that'll be iinet.net.au. His phone number, if you want that instead, 0439 999 7863. I'll say that again because there's too many nines in there. 0439 997863 for call or text on that one. That's for Rob, VK6, Romeo, Lima, Romeo. The next item I have is a Codan transceiver. It's a Codan model 8525 HF radio transceiver and also a Codan 9114 power supply, EEPROM. It's programmed with 50 channels, including Oztravel and amateur frequencies, with an installation and operating instruction included, and will only sell to those people with appropriate licenses. So if you want any information on that one, please call Alan. His phone number is 0458 472 235. That's 0458 472 235. Alan, VK6 X-ray Lima. And going on with from there, I have a Kenwood PS30 power supply in good condition, $80. There's a matchbox antenna efficiency meter made by Helper Instruments USA. It covers UHF band. For those who are not familiar with this, it's a quick, easy frequency SWR antenna tuner lookup, asking $25. There's also a 1940s era communication receiver, excellent restoration project. There's a Bravo Charlie 779 communication receiver, military version of the Hammerland Sierra Papa 200 with the original 240-volt power supply, $200. There's Alpha Mike Romeo 200 communication receiver, straight-built copy of the Hammerland Sierra Papa 200 with DC power supply, $150. There's an Alpha Mike Romeo 100 communication receiver made by AWA Australia, copy of the National HRO with a 240-volt power supply, asking and one core box, asking $150. Call Wayne for those items, VK6 Fox Tango or VK6 Lima Hotel on 0423 185032 for further information. That's Wayne, VK6 Fox Tango, 0423 185032 for further info on those items. Thank you once again for all the input this week, and thank you once again for listening. This is Roy, VK6X-ray Victor, offering clear 7.3s, and if you have any items next week, please contact me. The email address is victorkilo6xrayvictor@bigpond.com. VK6X-ray Victor, bigpond.com, and I'll deal with or attend to your requirements. Thank you once again, 7.3 from Roy, VK6X-ray Victor.